Well, I've got a few words to speak to you tonight. Praise the Lord. It's 8:14 already. Say it with me, but the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
His mercy endures forever. So last night, I wouldn't say it's unusual. I know this happens to all of y'all. But sometimes in the night, anybody ever got a word in the night?
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just get a word and you don't really, you know, exactly know what it's all about. And sometimes the Lord will speak to us through dreams, right?
Yes.
Amen. And you know, when a dream is of the Lord, He'll show you what the dream is about, right? I mean, if it's an overdose of pizza dream, yeah, then that's a whole different story. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It kind of falls in line with that. And you know, we're talking about miracles, and I'm going to talk about miracles again next Wednesday night, Lord willing. And we've been talking about the power gifts. The three gifts that do something, gifts of healings and special faith, and then, of course, the working of miracles. But let me just read to you a couple of verses out of 1 Corinthians 12, and this is the Young's translation. Now, concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You've known that there were nations under the dumb idols, even as you were led, being carried away. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no one in the Spirit of God speaking says that Jesus is anathema, and that no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there are diversities of gifts and the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations and the same Spirit. And verse 6 is what I want to look at here. And there are diversities of workings, and it is the same God who is working all in all. Everyone say diversities,
diversities.
Of workings. Now, I looked that up, and it means operations or workings or activities. Activities, operation. The ESV says this, and there are varieties of activities. There are varieties of operations. God has different activities, different operations. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And so as I was waking up and through the night, I just kept hearing this word, operations, activities, operations of the Holy Ghost, activities of the Holy Spirit, operations, ministrations, demonstrations, operations, activities, activities. And what I got out of that is this. The Holy Ghost is active.
Yes, amen.
The Holy Ghost is active. And He desires for His operations to be made manifest in you and through you. Operations. Operations. Activities. Oh, we see activities of the Holy Spirit in our midst, do we not? But these same operations and these same activities that we experience corporately, God wants us to experience them individually. He wants us to believe for the activities and the operations and the moving of His Spirit on all fronts of our life.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. How many of you know He'll get involved in your finances? If you'll invite Him to get involved and be active in your finances, I'm telling you what, He will show you what you need to know. He will show you things to come.
Amen.
And He will even warn you of things to come. And give you wisdom on what to do and what not to do. Amen?
Amen.
And so I believe this, that we're to pray just for a few minutes tonight about the operations, about the activities of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our voice. Oh, Father, thank you for the operations. Thank you for the ministrations of the Holy. Oh, bredishe mana. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, remishteana. Oh, we know that you're willing. We know that you're willing. We know that you're more than willing. We know that you're active. Hallelujah. Thank you for the operations. Thank you for the manifestations. Thank you, Lord, for the demonstrations of the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so, how many of you know that faith for miracles comes by hearing? It comes by hearing. That's what we're doing on these Wednesday nights. We're hearing about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Not just to hear and to have our ears tickled, but we're hearing so that we can be hungry for them. We're hearing so that we can covet them. We're hearing so that we can expect them. And so that we can anticipate them in our midst. You know, sometimes I think we get so used to the electricity in the room. And when I'm talking about the electricity in the room, I'm talking about the power of the Lord that's present. Yeah. Woo, when we come together, folks, I'm telling you what, He is here in our midst. He's on the inside of us, but He is also here right in our midst. I've had people say recently to us, and I was wondering how they enjoyed the service because there were some demonstrations of the Spirit that I think probably were quite unusual for them. And so I kind of gathered around them a little bit and talked to them. And one of the things that this man described, what was going on in the room, he says, it's electric. It's electric. Woo, glory to God. In other words, I can feel, I can sense the presence of the Lord. Woo-hoo, glory to God. His presence is so precious. His presence is so wonderful. Oh, glory to God. This is a place for miracles. This is a place for the supernatural intervention into the ordinary course of nature. This is a place for the outworkings of the Spirit. This is a place for the explosions of almightiness. Amen. In this place, bodies can be healed without anyone touching them. Why? Because Jesus is here. I said, Jesus is here. Woo, everyone say, Jesus is here. Oh, it's wonderful. What is in this house is precious. What God is doing in this place is way beyond the intellect of man. Way beyond the ability of man. It is the ability which God giveth. Amen? Woo, glory to God. And so he goes talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Look at verse 10. And so, to another, the inworkings of mighty deeds, and to another, prophecy, and so on. So notice this, to another, the inworkings of mighty deeds. That's plural. That's the operations. The Passion Translation says, to another, the power to work miracles. I love this definition that Howard Carter gave, and probably should have it on the screen for next week. It says, the working or acts of power, that's what miracles are, explosions of almightiness. Let's pray that right now. Lord, give us explosions of almightiness. And then he says, impelling, staggering wonders or astonishments, outworkings of powers, a mighty gift glorifying the God of all power, which stimulates the faith of God's people, astonishing and confusing the unbelief of the world. Amen. Now, and we're not going to take a lot of time tonight, but the Apostle Paul was a man of faith. The Apostle Paul is the one who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, that we're teaching on Sunday mornings, but we have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. See, it's one thing for Pastor Tom and I to believe and speak over the church, but what happens when we also, all of us, when we also believe and speak concerning the body here? Amen? That's powerful there. Because one or two chase a thousand to flight, but oh, glory to God. You get a handful like us tonight, man, the devil just packs up his bags and heads somewhere else. But the Apostle Paul, he was spirit conscious. He really was. He was Holy Spirit conscious. He prayed in tongues a lot. He said in Corinthians, he says, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. He also prayed that the church at Ephesus would be filled with all the fullness of God. He also said in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Speak in yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was spirit conscious. He's the one who said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And he said, I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not say body, mind, and spirit. He said spirit, soul, and body. Because he knew that the spirit of man was the most important part of man, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. He was spirit conscious. He was conscious of the Holy Ghost. And I see a flame on every head tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We sang that song, Fire, on Sunday night. Woo-hoo, glory to God. But I see a flame of fire on everyone's head. Just like on the day of Pentecost. I dream of a church. I declare of this church that this church, everyone that walks through these doors, is filled with all the fullness of God. And when we're filled with all the fullness of God, guess what? There just ain't no room for anything else. There's no room for worry or anything like that. So I said all that to say this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quickly. And notice with me in verses 1 through 5. So Paul, say it with me, Paul emphasized the power of God. Now notice with me in verses 1. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come that way. He said, because I really determined to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I like that, don't you?
Amen.
And he said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now notice this. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration. It was in manifestation. It was given to the operation, into the activity of the Holy Spirit. In demonstration of the Spirit and power. In other words, my preaching and my teaching showed forth a proof. My teaching and my preaching demonstrated something. Now, I saw something in the Spirit-filled Bible. Let me read it to you real quickly. Speaking of the power of God, the demonstration. The writer said this, the text reveals a priority that we must contend for in an era when the intellect is often deified and the demonstration of the Spirit and of power is either unsought or ridiculed. He said this, the word is derived from the term used to describe actions that exhibit or accredit or validate a claim, a truth, or presence. And then he goes on to say, the New Testament apostolic value system sought and was grateful for the Holy Spirit's power works, and so their manifestation is a worthy pursuit. I love this. It's a worthy pursuit and expectation today as we declare God's word to testify to the world in which we live. When we do this, God confirms His word with signs following. And then he concludes by saying, expect manifestations of the Holy Spirit, not for show, not for sensation, but as a means for God to validate the glory of the gospel. I like that, don't you? So Paul says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As I was preparing a couple of weeks ago, I just got this in my spirit, God turning up the power. And so as he does, let's turn up our prayer. Let's turn up our expectation. And let's turn up our anticipation. Amen? Here's what he said to the church at Thessalonica. Wow. He said this, for our gospel, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo-hoo. So the question tonight would be is this, do we have faith in the power of God? We do not want to fall into the trap that they did in 2 Timothy 3:5, where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. So what this is saying, never reject, never backpedal, never refuse, never spurn, never turn away by not accepting what God is doing. No, let's invite him. Let's yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Say with me, I believe in the power of God. All things are possible with God.
Whew.
Do you want the Holy Spirit to smile when he thinks about your church? I do. I want him to smile.
Amen.
At Wednesday night services.
Yeah.
I want him to smile.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what else? He's the comforter, right?
Amen.
You know what else I want? I want him to feel comfortable with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? And so, next week, I'm going to get into some things that we don't have time for tonight, but be here, because we're going to talk about some examples of miracles and how that it can affect and impact your life. Did you know that there's such a thing as provisional miracles?
Yes, amen.
I'm going to have Pastor Brenda preach a message on a Sunday morning on provisional miracles. I'm going to touch on it a little bit. But folks, we could use some provisional miracles.
Amen.
How many of you could use some provisional miracles in your house?
Amen?
You know, with all the talk about recession and all these things, recession. I like what one person said many years ago. They talk about recession. I've decided I'm not going to participate. And the only way that can we not participate with recession, amen, is get connected with kingdom principles. Amen? The law of sowing and the law of reaping. Amen? Woo, glory to God.
Glory.
So closing now, the definition for the working of miracles. Say with me, it is a divine intervention
in the ordinary course of
nature. It is a temporary suspension of the accustomed order. It's an interruption in the system of nature as we know it. Operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Glory to God. Water into wine, brother. Axe heads floating. Sun standing still. Samson slewing 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. Whoo! That's beyond the natural. Amen? Amen. And so we don't want to just look back at all those things and say, oh yeah, that was wonderful, but you know, the age of miracles is that bad. God's still alive.
Yeah.
I said, God's still alive.
Yeah.
He's still on the throne and he does not change.
Hallelujah.
And I believe this, that he has found a group of people here at Heart of the Bay that will just believe him and let God be God and every man a liar.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you get anything tonight? I know we didn't speak very long, but how many of you know Jesus is Lord? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.